Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Extreme weather in the Pacific Northwest. ABC meteorologist Lee Goldberg says a deadly bomb cyclone has brought torrential rains to parts of Washington State and Northern California.
Out west, it's a powerhouse storm roping in an atmospheric river into the west. It's a rare high-risk flood event in Northern California. It can mean rock slides and also wind gusts of 70 miles an hour along with high surf. 1 to 2 feet of additional snow from the mountains of Northern California.
The Northeast receiving some much-needed rain overnight. Pennsylvania and West Virginia. Virginia could get some snow. The Hamas-run Gaza Health Ministry says the death toll in Gaza has now surpassed 44,000, 104,000 people wounded. The International Criminal Court issuing an arrest warrant for Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu over accused war crimes in Gaza. Republicans on the House Ethics Committee have rejected calls to release the panel's long-running investigation into former Congressman and current Attorney General nominee Matt Gaetz. This is ABC News. A judge has ruled in favor of the family of Botham Jean, the Dallas man shot and killed by an off-duty police officer in his own home, in a civil judgment against the officer who shot him. Here's ABC's Rhiannon Alley.
Back in 2018, Dallas Patrol Officer Amber Geiger says she entered an apartment one floor up from hers, mistakenly believing it was her home. She says she encountered Jean, a 26-year-old accountant, and thought he was an intruder. Fearing for her life, she shot him twice in the chest. At her murder trial, Geiger was sentenced to 10 years in prison, although far short of the 28 years prosecutors had requested.
The family was awarded $98 million. Pamela Hayden, the voice of Bart Simpson's best friend Milhouse, is stepping away from The Simpsons after more than 35 years. The 70-year-old actress also lent her voice to others on the show, including Jimbo Jones and Ned Flanders' son Rod. Her final episode this Sunday. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
John Legend, ladies and gentlemen. John, you and I have something in common because your last name is Legend and you're an actual legend. And my last name is Schwabba and I'm an actual Schwabba. So there you go.
No, what is a Schwabba? You have to explain.
I'm a work in progress, but as soon as I figure it out, I'll let you know.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Iron Mike Tyson and Jake Paul, the YouTuber. They're likely, this is just me wildly speculating, might have been a wee bit of a gentleman's agreement. Try to make it look good, but nobody's actually going to try to knock anybody out.
I actually put a bet on that, and I bet it for Jake Paul to win, just because I knew it was staged. Mike Tyson was going to do what he's going to do. Clearly, obvious, he could have knocked him out. He just didn't want to do it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Another victory for the Bucks. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks beat the Bulls 122-106 at Fiserv Forum. Giannis Antetokounmpo scored 41 points.
The pace that we're playing with is incredible so far, but we got to keep on going. I think the last maybe 6, 7, 8 games we've been playing good. We could have easily be 5 in a row right now.
The Bucks have now won 4 of their last 5. They host the Pacers tomorrow night. NFL, the Packers worked out getting ready to host the San Francisco 49ers Sunday afternoon. Defensive back Jaire Alexander unable to practice due to that knee injury he suffered against the Jaguars 3 weeks ago. The Badgers traveled to Nebraska to take on the Cornhuskers Saturday, both teams with overall records of 5 wins and 5 losses.
With a few weeks left in the season, we don't kind of look at the state of the union and where we're at. We just always look at day-to-day and how do we continue to push our guys to get better so that your best is on Saturday, and that's where we get into these last few weeks of the season.
That's Badgers head coach Luke Fickell with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Denzel Washington told Esquire magazine recently he was bitter when he did not win the Oscar for Best Actor for The Hurricane in 2000. The Oscar went to Kevin Spacey for his performance in American Beauty. Washington said at that point he stopped caring and started having his wife cast his vote for the Academy. Washington won his first Best Actor Oscar 2 years later for Training Day. Washington has 4 more nominations since then, and there's a buzz he'll be nominated in the Best Supporting category for Gladiator 2. Elizabeth Olsen is returning to the MCU. Olsen, whose character is Scarlet Witch, will play a derivation of the role in the upcoming series Marvel Zombies. Good God, seriously? Marvel Zombies will actually be a spinoff of the Disney series What If, in which Olsen voiced Scarlet Witch before transforming into Zombie Scarlet Witch. If you're looking for an excuse not to watch, you've got time. Marvel Zombies drops in October 2025. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
It is going to be cloudy and very windy today. Our high in the low 40s this afternoon. The wind will be northwest at 20 to 30, gusting to 40 at times. Tonight, cloudy. The wind will die down after midnight, low in the mid-30s tomorrow. Gradual clearing with a high in the low 40s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 30.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, we make our popcorn pick of the week with Yawasare from Gold Coast Candy. Then Nick Wallen from Comedy City and DePere drops by for a serious discussion about comedy.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Bringing you real information, good conversation, unabashedly Wisconsin. Good morning. Welcome back to Up North News Radio. Brought to you by Courier Newsroom and carried by our friends on the Civic Media Radio Network at 7:06 on this Thursday morning, November 21st. It's nice to have you along. Just going to pick up where we left off in our last segment with our history lesson and music history and things like that, because Roger and Stephen's point notes for us that we were talking about Physical, and in 1981 it was the number one song for 10 weeks. And Roger notes that 1 week after Physical hit number one, Foreigner hit number two with a song where it stayed for 10 weeks without ever hitting number one. Mr. Bach, what was that song?
I've been waiting for a girl like
you. Oh, that's where we bring in Brittany Merlot, the girl we've been waiting for since her own little break post-election.
You know, I love this. Pat, I was like, oh, okay, so we're going to play that for Brittany. Okay. But then you bobbed, and then you weaved, and brought it right back to DJ Flipmix.
Yes. Oh,
don't accuse me of a weave, you. Ms. Merlot, how are you? Welcome back.
Thank you. I am fantastic. You know, I went on a little break in Florida and came back to this winter storm going on here.
Oh, she's so excited. You can feel it. Yes.
Oh, I am. Oh, my gosh. So I got to drive back in a little bit of it last night into northwest Wisconsin, and now waking up seeing those accumulations and the Fox Valley getting hit. And like you said, DJ Flipmix over here, we're seeing that today. So icy situations, though, I got to be serious about that. There is slippery roads, especially into the Fox Valley, all the way over to kind of Stevens Point area. So be careful out there. Otherwise, this afternoon, we are still looking at another 1 to 3 inches of snowfall along Lake Michigan that will kick on out of here by noon. And it actually kind of looks to flip to some rainfall after that. So a little bit of melting going on, but temperatures overnight start to flirt with that freezing mark again, so any wet areas will refreeze. So just keep in mind that the slippery conditions are still lingering, especially all those bridges, ramps, things like that. But I'm excited. Oh my gosh, there's already 2.4 inches into a Oconto here in Wausau. We've got a half an inch. I'm going to go do a snow angel in a minute. Excited.
That's so great. Rob says, welcome back, Brittany, who does an excellent job with the weather and news. She is simply the best. He writes, good morning from Tigerton. It's cloudy and 33. We got a half inch of snow overnight. I had to plow and salt the ramp at the Tigerton Clinic. Roads have been slushy in spots, which checks out. Sounds about right. Did you know that while you were away, he was like giving his own little mini weather reports for Tigerton?
Thank you, Rob. He's got my back. He's filling in for me.
We were doing it last week too. He gave a report every single day.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
Okay. We were talking earlier, Brittany, about Thanksgiving dinners and things, and whether turkey is, some people don't like the turkey. Tony says the only one in my house who likes turkey is my dog, who chases them through the woods. FYI, he writes, wild turkeys can almost fly.
Well, after enough wild turkey, you think you can fly yourself. Hey,
you think you can fly too. See, exactly. You went that way, and I was going to go with the WKRP, as God is my witness. I thought turkeys could fly. He says, back to turkey, my dad deep fries it for hours in the church parking lot, and everyone acknowledges it's delicious. I just don't like it. I would take ham 100 out of 100 times.
Yeah.
And I don't know about hours. Were you deep frying a turkey for hours?
Yeah. Also, my friend refers to ham as meat jello. So ever since then, I'm like, I don't know.
Oh, no. No. Yeah, you did.
You're welcome.
And then finally, Roger chimes in. Everyone knows most of the flavor in jellied cranberry sauce is in the ridges.
Yes.
It's true.
Yes.
There's something about the ridges in the can that just make it taste just
There's nothing like a food side that can also act as a coaster.
Are you a Thanksgiving dinner maker or a consumer, Brittany?
I am a consumer, and then I clean. That is my chores. So
a consumer
I'm good
and cleaner.
Yep.
Exactly. Yes. Works out great. Brittany, so nice to have you back. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
You too. Have a good day, guys.
All right. You as well. If you'd like to join the conversation at any point here, 855-75-CIVIC is the number, 855-752-4842. You can call that number. You can text it as well. You can call or text us through the Civic Media app. If you don't have the Civic Media app, fix that. Get that on your phone where you can listen to all the stations across the network, some high school sports, some Badger sports as well. And if you'd like to give us feedback through your keyboard, if you're more of a keyboard warrior, then hop over to the Up North News Facebook page, the Up North News YouTube page, or the Civic Media Facebook page. Put something in the comment section, and we may put it on screen right there. And put your comment and share it, and maybe comment to it as well. All right, so let's see. We wanted to tackle a few things here. Our friends from Motherhood for Good, normally here on Thursdays, they too are taking a little time off after the election, but I am happy to note that they have a podcast, at least one. I like that the cover page on here says, "The Motherhood for Good, the podcast, first and maybe only episode," is what it says over on YouTube. So I hope they do. I hope they continue that, because we get them for 15 minutes a week. And obviously there's so much more that can be said and that we would love to hear. We'd like to hear more from them about why busy parents should be paying attention to the news, should be paying attention to politics, should be paying attention to the impact that political decisions have on your lives, and then act accordingly. That might mean voting if you never vote before. It might mean advocating, you know, letters to the editor, whatever the case may be. Coming up in just a few minutes here, Jimmy Koska will join us as well to talk about the state high school football tournament that gets underway today. Luke Mathers will join us a little later in the hour as well. In sports at 7:13, Giannis Antetokounmpo had 41 points, 9 rebounds, 8 assists. The Bucks beat the Bulls last night, 122-106. Brooke Lopez scored 21. Damian Lillard, 20. A.J. Green, 18 points. The Bucks have now won 4 of their last 5 after that dismal 2-8 start. Coming up next for the Bucks will be another home game, but it will be part of that the NBA Emirates Cup thing, and they will be playing at home against the Indiana Pacers. That, again, will be on Friday. The Badger women's volleyball team was in action last night at home at the Fieldhouse. They needed 5 sets but did beat 16th-ranked Minnesota. The Badgers will now head to Lincoln for a rematch with number 2 Nebraska on Saturday night. That's 7 o'clock on Saturday night, and the Badger volleyball match will be broadcast on the Big Ten Network. We have been talking a bit about the ongoing Trump transition and the decisions that have been made about cabinet members, and whether we deserve to know more about who those cabinet members are. The most recent controversy, of course, is about Matt Gaetz. And in our last hour, we played some audio from Congressman Derek Van Orden talking about whether the House Ethics Committee should release its report on Matt Gaetz, who has faced allegations for years of having sex with underage girls, of child sex trafficking, of paying off women after having sex with them, all kinds of things that would make you wonder if this is the guy who should be running the United States Department of Justice. But this is the guy that Donald Trump wants, in part because he has promised essentially to get rid of people at the U.S. Department of Justice that Trump perceives as having weaponized the department against the president-elect, otherwise known as, you know, seeking justice for those who might commit wrongdoing. But if you've got, let's listen again to what Derek Van Orden had to say about whether the House Ethics Committee should release that report. He was talking to a CNN reporter, whom you'll hear first.
There might be a vote in the House to release that report. Would you vote to release that report?
I think it's very important that everybody has as much knowledge as possible so that they can make an informed decision.
That sounds like a yes.
That's a yes. So if the rumors are true about Mr. Gates' conduct, then there should be referrals to other agencies. And if they're not true, then there's a whole lot of people that owe him an apology.
And I would offer the pretty confident prediction there will not be apologies, because in some way, shape, or form, that report will come out. Well, we already know a lot about what Gates has been accused of. And whether that leads enough Republican senators to say that Trump's nomination for Attorney General should not go through, well, let me put it to you this way. The House Ethics Committee could have released that report yesterday if even one Republican on the committee had voted for it. And the fact that not a single Republican did tells you what you need to know. What are House Republicans working on right now? Well, just listen to Nancy Mace from South Carolina and now the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, in taking all of their time and attention to target somebody who's about to be sworn into Congress, will be the first transgender woman elected to Congress by her constituents. And they're already looking to banish her from using restrooms at the Capitol. That's the diversion that they're looking for. That if we talk more about the outrage of that, if you get more people worked up about transgender members of our community, that will cause you to stop focusing on Matt Gaetz as Attorney General, Dr. Oz heading up the Center for Medicare and Medicaid, Linda McMahon from, you know, the wrestling world as Education Secretary, Russian puppet Tulsi Gabbard as head of national intelligence, Robert Kennedy Jr. heading the Department of Health and Human Services, Pete Hegseth, whose tattoos are too similar to white supremacy groups to enable him to have served in a particular detail while he was in the military, Sean Duffy, whose only experience in transportation has been on a show called Road Rules. All of these things are part of essentially a circus that comes to town with everything that Trump touches, and hopes that we will talk only about the circus and not about the policies and the things that will do real harm. The Republicans talk a good game about, for example, protecting young women. But if you're looking to protect young women, you shouldn't be looking at somebody who's serving with honor as a transgender legislator turned congressperson. If you want to protect young women, why don't you finally take a closer look at Matt Gaetz and Donald Trump while you're at it? Jimmy Koska is going to be next. We'll talk about the state high school football tournament along the way, wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Thursday morning. When you're here, you're up north. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
The Todd Alba Show.
If you haven't tried mindfulness techniques before, the idea is to take a minute, focus on the present, not the past, not the future. Be here now. You can do it in your car.
Please, not while you're driving.
I would say preferably not driving. Just take a moment and close your eyes and just breathe. Focus like on the breath coming into your body and out.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Earl Ingram.
Don's from Milwaukee.
I enjoy your show. Right now, at a time like this, you are great therapy for me. I don't know what I'd do without you guys.
We enjoy you as well. That's the importance of civic media and this platform. And Sandy and I take this seriously. We're going to continue to do whatever it is we can to make sure that people like you continue to get your voices heard.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this. Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Again, we are noting the anniversary of Steely Dan's landmark album Gaucho, which came out on this day in 1980. Jimmy Koska joins us now to talk a little sports, and I'd love to say that, you know, high school football playoffs have snuck up on us. Things don't sneak up on us. It's like, oh, Thanksgiving, it's just snuck up on us. No, it's on the calendar. It's always been in the same spot. And here we are at high school playoff season. So much like last year, we are thrilled that Jimmy's been able to come in and join us for a little bit. Jimmy, how are you?
I'm doing great. I can't believe we're at the end of the high school football season already. It feels like we just started fall camp here like yesterday. But here we are. Snow is flying. Wind is blowing. And we are here in the final 2 days of the high school football season.
It's really and of course, you've got that snowfall out there. It never seems quite right if conditions at Camp Randall or elsewhere are perfect. If you've got that either that nip of fall or just full on, you know, snow showers or something, that seems to make it perfect, like it or not. This is how the weather works around this state.
Yeah, Camp Randall in a snow globe for state football is the best, man. It is the best to be there for. If you're indoors, if you're outdoors, not as fun.
Yeah. I recall when in Minnesota, after the Metrodome was first built, and it was like this big deal that they were moving all the high school football games. It was like a whole day of football games, but it always felt so antiseptic. You know, it just felt so sterile, and it just wasn't the same. Actually, that's what they said about the Vikings as well. It's like, you know, Metropolitan Stadium is like, you want to play outdoors and you want to be tough and rugged and not everything indoors. And it's just one more reason why I loved becoming a Wisconsinite all those decades ago. It was Lambeau and Camp Randall, and, you know, it gets a little inhospitable out there, but that's the way it's supposed to be.
Yeah, and I think that in Wisconsin, what you find too is that the style of play we have, the typical high school team, is really acclimated to that, because you have a lot of really run dominant teams. You have a lot of star running backs and offensive linemen that the state produces. So I think that feeds into the identity of football at the higher levels as well. If you got a player from Wisconsin, chances are they're going to be a little rugged. They're going to handle the weather pretty well. And chances are too, you're going to find a pretty good lineman or two or a dozen out of this great state. So.
All right. Well, let's look at the games here. And there are 7 matchups for today, 3 tomorrow. I'll let you take them either in sequential order if you want to, or however you want to take us through what's happening starting at 10 o'clock this morning.
Yeah, so we have 4 games today. And the first game is really interesting. Edgar is taking on another Six Rivers Conference team. They beat Blackhawk Warren last year. They get Potosi-Cassville this year. Potosi-Cassville has been ranked number 1 in the state the entire year. I had the fortune might be the wrong word because we got beat pretty good, but I got to coach against them this year. And that is a pretty loaded team, but Edgar has been there before. They have won state championships in 4 different divisions in their history, 4 through 7. So that first one is going to be a great small school game, pretty typical of small school football. Grantsburg and Lamira gives you another good small school matchup of teams that, you know, that they don't have the long storied history, right? But they've had their spots. And when you get to Division VI and you see you had a couple of schools that again, have pretty good defenses, pretty good running games. What would you expect at that level? Stratford and D5 game this afternoon has a chance to become the third team in state history to win a consecutive championship in a division higher than the one they were in the year before. And for the first time, this tournament features teams that are being moved up a division due to the tournament performance multiplier, or performance factor that moves teams up if you've been to state or sectionals enough times in years past. Stratford was a team that won D6 last year. Now they're in D5. They get Wrightstown.
And our now that's very interesting that the divisions aren't just by school size, but if you are so dominant in that division, you move up even if you're still qualified for that. That's it'd be like a lightweight boxer who is so dominant that we're moving you up to heavyweight anyway, just because you're so good. I'm not familiar with that.
Yeah, so in Wisconsin, this is new. And in football, it's weird because you don't know your division until the bracket is set, because not every team makes it. Every other sport, you know your division going into the season. So we saw it in cross country, for example, where some Division III schools, small schools, got bumped to Division II. So they're competing against schools sometimes five times their size.
Wow.
It's different every sport. Football has seven divisions. So, you know, there's you know, the movement maybe not as drastic as taking a two or three division sport and moving a team up, but it exists now in every sport for the first time this year.
Okay, so we've got the nightcap, which will be airing on WRJN and WSCM as
yep.
well.
That is Racine St. Catharines and Baldwin Woodville. It's your classic offense versus defense matchup. St. Cats has had a pretty good defense this playoffs, and Baldwin Woodville's been great on offense. So that'll be great to have across two stations here on the Civic Media Network.
Yeah, stations in both markets there that you can hear that game again, 7 o'clock tonight. Or so, I figure these things slide a little bit based on when some of these games end.
Yeah, football's been really lucky in that they've really held to those start times. Typical high school game lasts a couple of hours. You're going to see a lot of running today, so I don't think anything will get too off kilter. In fact, most of the teams at state, I think there's only two teams that really throw the ball out of the 14. So I would think everything stays on time. And that's been one of the nice things about the state championship experience, is that they do keep things moving in state football. Some of the other state sports, as you know, Pat, baseball especially, or softball, mm-hmm. weather can really make problems, and then things get pushed back forever. So.
It really can. Day two starts tomorrow at 10 a.m.
Yep, Catholic Memorial takes on Notre Dame in the D3 game. That features a lot of Division I college football talent. So for those of you who are looking at the next level, perhaps that's one of very, very big interest. Rice Lake is the other team in this bracket that gets moved up a division. They were a Division III champion last year. Now they're in Division II. They get Slinger, and that game might be over in about 90 minutes because both of those teams really like to run. And then the final game in the state this year will be Bayport and Muskego. Muskego is a team that's been there and on kind of a big run here at the end of the year. They lost multiple games during the regular season, but put it together on this big run. All three of the games tomorrow feature teams that can really power the football. But I really think that for people who are more interested in what happens at the next level, I think you'll find some great talent in all three of those games.
For folks who might not be familiar with that one game tomorrow where you mentioned Notre Dame, Catholic Memorial. Notre Dame is out of Green Bay. Catholic Memorial is out of Waukesha. And somewhere on my screen, I see somebody has typed in the words, woo, CMH.
Class of 96, baby.
So I guess we have one cheerleader here for Catholic Memorial.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right. You'll be signing off the show and immediately finding a TV to take that one in tomorrow. I want you to be. I think of all the games that you have at state, if you're more interested in the college football aspect of things, that's probably the one you're watching out of all seven.
So. Really? Okay, Greg, you got some. Did you play on the team?
No. No, they wanted, and this is not a lie, the WIAA rules back in the day, you had to cut your hair, and I refused to cut my hair in high school, so I wouldn't play football.
Boy, I felt like this segment should be 5 minutes longer just to delve into this. Jimmy, we'll work on that another time. Thank you so much for the update. Enjoy the games.
Thanks, guys. Have a great rest of your day.
All right. Thank you so much. We'll continue more with Up North News Radio after the Midwest Farm Report across many of these Civic Media stations. We'll be back. You're up north.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Propane use on today's Wisconsin farms means more than just keeping warm. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news for a Thursday. And in fact, the Propane Research Council is not only innovating the way farms use propane, they're providing some incentives to use propane. Details on the way.
Farming is full of up and downs, but with the right tools, you can navigate any cycle. Join Compeer Financial's Grain Vantage webinar on December 4th from 9 to noon. Hear from ag industry pros like me, Rob Sharkey, during this free virtual event. Leave with real-world strategies to help you manage risk and explore opportunities in today's market. Visit compeer.com/grainvantage to sign up. The Grain Vantage webinar, helping you take control of your farm's financial future.
Mike Newland, Director of Agriculture Business Development with the Propane Education Research Council, says today propane is being used in a lot of innovative ways across farms in the United States. For example, can you imagine propane fueling a system that steams the soil? He explains.
My background's agronomy, and I get excited when we can control weeds with heat instead of pesticides. And that's what we're doing. This soil steam unit that we've got, it's running in California. It just came back to California from Yuma, Arizona, where there's a tremendous amount of lettuce produced. The results of that unit are fantastic. We're sterilizing the weed seeds essentially in the soil bank, but we're also seeing fusarium control with that unit as well. You know, a product that we didn't think would have a fit for the Midwest, that technology may, in fact, over time, you know, may take 10 years or whatever, may make its way to the Midwest.
Interesting concept. Mike Newland, he's the Director of Agriculture Business Development with the Propane Education Research Council, PERC. They also have created a incentive program where producers get money back when they purchase certain categories of equipment for the farm that use PERC. You can find out more on that. Go to propane.com/farm incentive.
No one should have to navigate herd health alone. Luckily, you don't have to. A successful operation requires teamwork. Visit bio-vet.com and let us help identify key challenges and offer expert solutions unique to your situation. We evaluate your full herd health plan and make economical recommendations to your operation. Learn more about our team and products for herd health at bio-vet.com.
Innovation, that's BioVet. Hey, we'd love for you to sign up for our daily e-newsletter, and you won't miss a thing about Wisconsin agriculture. It's simple. Just go to MidwestFarmReport.com and give us your email address. There's a look at food news on a Thursday. I'm PM Yonke.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
It is going to be cloudy and very windy today. Our high in the low 40s this afternoon. The wind will be northwest at 20 to 30, gusting to 40 at times. Tonight, cloudy. The wind will die down after midnight, low in the mid-30s tomorrow. Gradual clearing with a high in the low 40s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 30.
Bringing a house of pain.
Backside pressure, down he goes. Inside the 30-yard line.
To a game day near you.
Picked off by Wisconsin, and the Badgers win it.
That's how you create a program. That's how you create a team.
Join us Saturday. Wisconsin and Nebraska square off for the Freedom Trophy. Our coverage begins at 12:30 on your home for Wisconsin football.
Here on your local Civic Media radio station, 1260 AM, WLAK.
Lena Bloom for The Bail Project.
Imagine you're stuck in a jail cell and you can't afford bail, and someone offers you a way out. Just plead guilty and you can go home and kiss your kids goodnight. What do you do? What thousands have. You plead guilty whether you are or not. Cash bail makes poverty a crime. That's why The Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We'll be taking a look at issues that will face Wisconsin voters in 2025 and your phone calls as well. Don't miss it.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Diamonds, daisies, snowflakes, that girl, chestnuts, rainbows, springtime.
Marlo Thomas is 87 years old today, many years removed from That Girl, the sitcom that made her a household name, daughter of legendary comedian Danny Thomas as well. 7:35 now on Up North News Radio. And again, as mentioned, our friends from Motherhood for Good are on their little post-election break after, you know, a year of bringing us a Women Win Wisconsin segment during this half hour each Thursday. They did do their first episode ever of a podcast that you can find on their YouTube channel. And I think any opportunity for them to share their thoughts on busy parents paying attention to politics and policy is a very good thing. So hopefully they have a great Thanksgiving. And we'll talk to them once the calendar flips over to December. Some entertainment notes are coming up in just a bit, as well as a story about Tom Tiffany and the impact that he's having as a congressman in helping overrule Oneida County's comprehensive plan for protecting land conservation. But before I get to that, I want to call your attention to a story on our website, upnorthnewswi.com. You also find it in today's newsletter, which you can sign up for at our website. The headline is How to Talk to a Conspiracy Theorist in 6 Steps. It notes here that, you know, people don't fall into extremist or violent or racist viewpoints all at once. It's a process. And understanding what's behind the process that leads to those beliefs could be used to start a new conversation with some of those folks and might just lead them back to reality. So take a look at that article again, either in our newsletter or on the website, upnorthnewswi.com. Now, one of the things that really caught my eye, I believe it was day before yesterday here, was an article in the Wisconsin Examiner by Henry Redman, who is just a terrific investigative reporter. And the headline is that a timber industry group and a right-wing nonprofit influence Oneida County's comprehensive plan. It talks about how Congressman Tom Tiffany and a group called the American Stewards of Liberty are influencing the Northwoods. They've been doing work that has led to a committee of the Oneida County Board approving a number of changes to a draft of what would be Oneida County's new comprehensive plan. Now, whenever you hear comprehensive plan, people start to go, you know, they don't want to hear about the inner workings of local government. And yet it's so important. And I'm going to tell this story to get you there. People don't want to hear about comprehensive plans, like, oh, it's just, you know, more government interference, et cetera, et cetera. And people asked me as a new legislator in 2007, said, you know, hey, there's this strip club that's going to go up in this place here in our community. You know, what can you do about it? And I said to them, quite honestly, nothing. You could have done something about it in your comprehensive plan that made sure that certain businesses, whether they're strip clubs or hog farms or whatever, aren't in certain areas. But a lot of you said that comprehensive plans were just a big government tool and you didn't want to put these things in your plan. And now it's too late. Well, in Oneida County, they have a comprehensive plan, and in it include aspects that enable people who have land up north and want to conserve it for generations to come can find ways to do that so that the land is not necessarily bulldozed, dug up, turned into a golf course or a strip mall or a mine. And again, as I've had to say before, there's nothing wrong with development when it's done with some sense of planning and with some sense of not harming the other land and water around it. But there are others who would like to, pun intended, bulldoze right through those rules and say, you know, it's our land, liberty, freedom, we can do whatever we want with it, whether it's a hog farm, a strip mall, or what have you, or maybe a strip club. So anyway, the changes in the draft for the Oneida County plan have been suggested by a timber industry group that was aided by Congressman Tiffany and American Stewards for Liberty, described in the article here as a right-wing nonprofit that has taken an interest in land use policy. The group American Stewards of Liberty has undertaken an effort to influence local planning decisions up north. This is a group that traditionally, Henry Redman writes, has traditionally focused on ranching issues out west. But after being introduced by Tiffany, they've been working with officials up north to oppose things like the Pelican River Forest Conservation Easement on the grounds that federal and state officials had not properly coordinated with local units of government. I like Tony's putting a comment on YouTube, and I just knew Yellowstone was going to come up. To quote the TV show Yellowstone, people started living on the land, not with it. That's a very good way to put it. Thank you, Tony, for adding that in there. The American Stewards for Liberty, their ideology, Henry Redman writes, in the name of, quote, protecting property rights, calls for expanding the extractive uses of land, including increased logging and the approval of open pit mines in the area. Opponents, of course, say the group twists a desire to protect private property owners into a belief system that will prevent others from acting to conserve the resources on their land. Again, there's nothing wrong with logging and the timber industry. If it's well managed, it is the healthy thing for a forest. It is not freedom to just say that, you can clear cut willy-nilly, consequences be damned. It's why you have a comprehensive plan. It's why you have these rules. But American Stewards for Liberty was also involved in writing the environmental policy sections of Project 2025. So you have an idea of where they stand with a new Trump administration that's coming in. The changes that have been suggested to the plan would move decisions away from support of conservation and toward more extractive uses of the land. For example, when you talk about protecting the land, the previous language had said that Oneida County should, quote, minimize impacts to the county's natural resources from non-metallic mining. Again, the county should minimize impacts to natural resources. The new language says the county should, quote, consider impacts to the county's natural resources from non-metallic mining, so that a pro-mining group could come in and say, well, we did consider it. We're going ahead with the mine anyway, and you may direct any further comments to this brick wall. That's the big difference, and again, where I'm always preaching to folks about caring about what your local government does or what your legislature does. There's so much that can be done with just the change of a couple of words. There's such a difference between may and shall, for example. And somebody's got to be watching these things. And so I'm very appreciative that whether it's Henry Redman at the Wisconsin Examiner or other reporters who are looking at this. Eric Rampala is a member of a local conservation group, Oneida County Clean Waters Action, who spoke against the recommendations and told the Examiner that it's outrageous to give an industry group this much influence over county land use policies, and that everyone should be more honest about the involvement of American Stewards for Liberty. As Eric put it, you guys need to admit who you're working with and what you're trying to accomplish. And that's the reason that this is being brought up in this time, this place, this forum on stations all across Wisconsin, wherever you are in the state. You don't have to live or even visit Oneida County to understand that something like this can have impact anywhere. Whether you're listening, you know, in rush hour traffic in Milwaukee right now, or in what counts for rush hour traffic in Amory. All around us, there are people who can make decisions about whether that mine gets put in, or that hog farm, that CAFO, that strip club, or that strip mall. All of these implications are there, and it's why these local elections for county board and school board, state legislature, are so important. In the state legislature, Tom Tiffany led the way in scrapping a rule about mining in Wisconsin that said to potential mining companies, you can come in to Wisconsin and open a mine if you have operated a mine someplace else and it has opened and closed, and for 10 years afterwards, there's been no water pollution. If your operation is so good that we don't have to worry about you polluting the water, then yes, you can come in. That is not a ban on mining. That is a ban on dirty mining. That is a ban on people coming in and saying, we don't give a rat's butt what happens after we're gone. We're just here to extract value. It's not a ban. It's a safeguard. And Tom Tiffany led the way to get rid of that safeguard. And now he's leading the way as a member of Congress to invite industry groups to come right into one of his home counties and rewrite the comprehensive plan so that it becomes easier to have those mines and other things that could potentially harm the air, the land, the resources, the recreation, the resale value of your land. All of these things that they say are in the name of growing the economy. But if you spoil what's there, what are you going to do to the rest of the economy that has to pay the price? So again, you can read more about that from Henry Redman in the Wisconsin Examiner. Head to wisconsinexaminer.com to learn more. All right, I did not watch the CMAs yesterday. I saw that they were on. I thought I'd pass along the note that Chris Stapleton, who has worked way too hard in his life to look like Greg Bach, took home 4 Country Music Association awards. Hardly left the stage last night. Meanwhile, Morgan Wallen was shut out all evening until taking the night's biggest prize for Entertainer of the Year. What I'm not clear on, Greg, is when did Post Malone become a big-time country star? Because he's been working with Morgan Wallen and with Chris Stapleton on one of the opening numbers. I clearly need to be paying more attention to when, you know, like Beyonce is crossing genres to do a country album, and you can't blink because you don't know who's going to be on what chart.
That's the beauty of music, especially, like, you know, Post Malone released an album called F1 Trillion. It was stacked with all of the big stars, and honestly, he stacked it with some of the studio session legends. Brent Mason, who's one of my favorite guitarists alive, is on that record, and yeah, I mean, he saw what Beyonce did, and he's like, I want to get a piece of that as well. And he loves country music, and I've heard some songs are good. I enjoyed it. The Chris Stapleton comment, though, he works too hard to look like me. I don't know what that means. Are you making fun of him or me?
I'm saying you're both very handsome men who look like you could be related.
Stop it. I didn't. There okay. I love Tony Chris Stapleton. Love Chris Stapleton.
And Tony writes from Ashland. Chris Stapleton is a treasure.
See?
And yes.
He Tony, is. Bring your ham. I'll bring my turkey. We'll talk about Chris Stapleton.
Brooks and Dunn was also there. They won Vocal Duo of the Year.
Dang.
For the first time since 2006. It's the 15th time that they've won that. That's pretty amazing. And then George Strait, who's now 72 years old, got essentially their Lifetime Achievement Award. There were, again, tributes played by many singers who did some of his songs. And then he got up on stage and said, well, I'm glad I got him first. Because, again, there's just so many. As Tony's mentioning, they got back together. I think are we confusing Brooks and Dunn for Hall & Oates? Because I don't think Hall & Oates are getting back together.
No,
Brooks
no, no,
and
no.
Dunn.
Brooks and Dunn, yeah, they got back together. And there was a time in country music where it was basically like, and Vocal Duo Award winner nominees are Brooks and Dunn and everyone else.
Well, it was, I mean, it was Alabama, you know, before that for Group of the Year. Yeah. It's like, why even watch?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So this time around, I did see the very beginning, and I think it was Chris Stapleton who mentioned that there were something like 40 different artists, 30 or 40 different artists up for nominations for the first time.
Yeah.
And that's a very good thing. So that you don't have just one or two groups
getting
the same awards over and over again. So, again, I'm sure a very good show, and congratulations to all the award winners there. When we come back, we'll talk to Luke Mathers a bit about what else you can find across the Civic Media Radio Network in the coming days, especially as we head into the Thanksgiving holiday. We'll be back after this.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. Matt and Air on Air.
And we are here with Matt Randolph, Mr. Global. Donald Trump now will be coming in for a second term. There has been talk of removing sanctions from Russia. What would that mean, Matt, for the oil and gas industry?
So it depends on what Russia does, but we've seen nothing to suggest that they want to have anything to do with lowering oil prices.
And so the prices are essentially going to stay the same?
In all likelihood, yes.
Matt and Air on Air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Stuart J. Waddles. I've been into like pistachios. Now they sell them shelled. That's probably my favorite movie snack for when I'm at home.
Are you getting paid by Big Nut? I don't know of anybody that has pistachios during a movie.
Listen, I would love to be paid by Big Nut. I could do cough drops during movies if people would pay me.
Let's redirect here because this could go bad.
Yeah, this guy, I think it already has.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts. You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio. There you see him now running up the steps of the state capitol and then all the way back to Sun Prairie like he's training for a prize fight. Luke Mathers, ladies and gentlemen, on the anniversary of the premiere of the first Rocky movie. Mr. Mathers, how are you?
I'm doing well, Mr. Kreitlow. And Mr. Bach, how are you gentlemen doing?
We're good. We're good. Did I hear you correctly? Did you say that if you had one handy, you would have an I voted sticker on?
Yes. I was looking for, I was getting ready. I've been listening all morning long. Tony, you're wrong about Turkey. Jeez, come on. Way too many references to strip clubs as well. Was not anticipating that on my Thursday morning.
I wasn't as a new legislator either. And it's this is my first problem. Okay.
I got brought up several different times this morning and I was shocked, but you know, I was looking for the I voted sticker and I just could not find one before jumping on with you here on Up North News Radio.
Tell us about your vote.
I went to the website that you, volume1.org. I typed in one first and I got an error message and I was like, oh, I think I got to spell it out then. So folks, they didn't tell you it's O-N-E for one.
Like the volume1.org. As in the O-Needers. That's a movie reference. You're welcome, everybody.
And you can head over and you can vote for your favorite morning show, your favorite radio show, I believe was the category. But you could also vote for your favorite radio station. We got some friends.
Tap on there. You got WCFW on there. So
several different civic media options there. Mike McKay is there. Oh, and literally my phone got that command and started playing it. So,
oh, that's funny.
There you go.
That is the
it
problem.
Works. Those smart speakers, they're always listening. You can just ask them and they'll start playing.
They're always listening.
They are. But you can vote for several different civic media products there in the Chippewa Valley as well. But highly recommend, my first vote was for Up North News Radio.
Oh, bless your heart. That's great. Here's the thing. The Best of the Chippewa Valley Awards from Volume 1 was started like the year after I left TV. And so I was never, in that whole voting thing. And it was only afterwards that I'm looking at some of my old colleagues getting, favorite anchor, favorite meteorologist, favorite sportscaster. And I felt so left out. for all these years. And now, 17 years later, after the awards are started, I have a chance.
There we go.
I have a chance to come in first and or be Rocky. Last. Yes, to be first or last, potentially, in one of these things. One never knows.
It's an honor to be nominated,
it's
right?
An honor to be put in a list that they have to list because it's every show in town. Yes.
Stop being so Midwestern.
Ope. See, that's Tony again saying on YouTube, or it's rigged against Pat.
And well, Greg.
And Greg. Yes, of course. That's exactly what I meant to say. Conan O'Brien fan? Yes or no, guys?
Yeah.
See, that he's been picked to host the Oscars for the first time.
Yeah, I think I don't have like a dedicated following to him, but I think most of the stuff of his that I see, I find funny.
So. I find him to be probably the funniest mind of the last generation, and I want to see those ratings for the Oscars.
Do you think that he will, is it too obvious to keep playing off the Chris Rock routine? Is he going to go for getting somebody to come up and slap him at some point?
I think he might make a reference, but he's really good friends with him, and I don't think he wants to bring that up. Like, and I'm sure the Academy's probably like, yeah, you know what? Not our shining moment, so.
That's true, yes.
I'm sure all the pre-production aspect of that is, please don't mention that. Please don't mention that.
Yeah. Conan did host the Emmys in 2002 and 2006. This will be his first time hosting the Oscars, which will air on ABC on March 2nd. So that was some of the new news that came out.
I can't believe it's award season already, folks. That's the wild part.
Like we said with Jimmy in the last half hour, can't believe it's football playoffs already. I mean,
let me enjoy my turkey and my cranberry sauce before I have to start hearing about the award ceremonies that are going to take place in February.
And yet, what message went out to all the civic media folks yesterday?
I know, I had to give one.
The WBA awards are coming up.
And so, but to be fair, I've been kind of a stickler with that one throughout the year. So most shows across the network should have, like, at least in the back of their mind, been hearing about those year round, which is less of a lift, I think. Then
I realized last year in trying to come up with, geez, what did I talk about? Who was interesting or whatever? So I actually did start a document, you know, tracking what we talked about each day. And I'm just going to the window right now. It's 73 pages.
There we go.
Which is not going to be fun, but it's more help than I had a year ago when I was trying to figure out, you know, what
it's going to be really helpful, because it's going to be Greg told a great joke, and it's going to be that day, and then we just know it was a good episode. So you've got all the notes you've got needed right there.
Oh, yes, exactly. Melissa Schrader writes on Facebook, hey, Pat, you have my vote. There you go. Look at that. I'm up to like three votes
at this
point.
I have your vote, too. I'm part of this as well. Thank you very much.
Greg, and Greg, too.
Thanks a lot, Pat.
We got to get like a little like musical ditty that we can put at the end of the intro so that when Don Rue's done, it's like, and Greg Bach, and just like, tack that on for the voting period.
We'll fix it in post. It's okay.
Wait,
this is live. Yeah. And me. I've given you all of 30 seconds to tell us anything new and interesting that we can find across the civic media universe.
Deer Camp kicks off this weekend. You're going to want to tune in, head over to the civic media website. You're going to see so much about what's going on for the Deer Camp Roundup that our friends in Park Falls are putting on, both this weekend, all throughout next week and the following weekend. So head over. There's going to be a lot of it online, over the airwaves, a huge presence for opening weekend kicking off this weekend.
It sounded like a lot of fun hearing it described in the station meeting. So I'm going to make sure to try to tune in as well. And everybody should go to civicmedia.us to learn more. Luke Mathers, thank you so much. Thank you for your support.
Always great to meet somebody I got to vote for.
For us and me. Greg Bach will be back at 10 a.m. for Matinair on Air, and we will be back tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. here on Up North News Radio, brought to you by Courier Newsroom, a pro-democracy news network building a more...
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Dom Selvia.
Next time, James Santel, former U.S. attorney, will discuss Trump finally facing justice in 2029... And does the separation of church and state apply to Oklahoma? Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. Max Inc. Radio.
These days I can't have.
This
is Paige Kleber. The 11-year-old will be live in studio playing songs from her new album. I'm Terry Barr.
Saturday and Sunday night starting at 6.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.